As you meander down Highway 62, moving east toward Eureka or southwest to Rogers, just outside of the small town of Gateway, you'll see something you may have seen in the motor tour days of the 1950s, a candy store marked by a 12-foot candy cane holding the sign for Martin Greer's Candies. Inside the white building, Martin Greer II and his son Uriah are carrying on the father-son candy-making tradition that started 90 years ago.
Dad started making candy in 1924 at home on the farm, and he would take his candy to town where they lived close to Texarkana. He would take his candy when they went to sell their produce on Saturdays, and you know. So he did that mainly to get a little spending money, like most teenagers would. You know, they like to have a little spending money, and if you live on the farm, you don't get it.
That next year, Martin Sr. went to work for a candy company in Texarkana, learning the trade from two Greek candy makers and several others over the next few years. After taking a hiatus from candy making during World War II, he opened Mrs. Greer's Candies. As a teenager, Martin recalls his father telling him, "You need a trade, and because I'm a candy maker, you're going to be a candy maker." And in just a couple of years, he was cooking up to 500 pounds of candy each day.
The first 6 years that Silver Dollar City was in existence, from 1960 to 1965, I made it at Dad's place and then took it up there. In fact, I considered it a sort of a vacation or a break just to get away from the candy shop and deliver it. But I was also going to school.
In 1965, Greer got his bachelor's degree and went on to teach art for Van Buren Public Schools. He maintained the two careers for much of his 75 years, cooking candy long after his father's death, after school, and on the weekends. His wife and her mother working the candy store while Greer taught. The two are still very instrumental in the family business. In this location that opened in 2000, Martin Greer III declined to become a candy maker. However, he did carry on the teaching gene. It is Greer's 23-year-old son, Uriah, who does much of the cooking these days. Health problems keeping Martin from lifting much and from standing over hot pots of potential candies. In a long room behind glass cases that hold shelves of chocolate-covered cherries, almond toffee, nut clusters, caramel tempters, and over 200 varieties, three banks of tables can be seen. Sunk into the tops of each are what appear to be large metal mixing bowls. In the center of each bowl is a partition separating one side of liquid melted chocolate from an empty one, a wand stirring the melted chocolate and clearing the side of the other.
Okay, this is what is called a tempering pot. You put the cold chocolate in on one side, and it will mix with the warm chocolate on the other side and gets it just to the right temperature where we can dip the centers in there.
Each pot of chocolate holds something different, a dark, a white, a milk, and a sugar-free. The temperatures for each are also different depending on the type, but all gauges lit up in red under the table surface read somewhere over 90 degrees. This cold room, though, is just that, the temperature never going over 65 degrees no matter the weather, the optimum temperature for setting the hand-dipped chocolates and for the unmelted. The tempering pots are also dipping pots.
We dip not with our hands anymore down into the chocolate, but we use a dipping fork.
Using a wide-pronged fork of sorts, Greer drops a center or nougat to be covered in the milky brown goodness. This is what he calls hand dipping, a process that hasn't been used much since the 1950s, when the process was mechanized with the advent of an enrober. The Greers have one such machine, yet haven't used it in over 8 years. Pretty much anything from a cherry to a marshmallow can be covered in the Peters brand chocolate.
Peters is the one who invented milk chocolate in Switzerland in 1875. We use only Peters chocolate.
According to Peters Chocolate's website, in 1867, Daniel Peter first attempted to make dark chocolate less bitter by adding milk. But it wasn't until several years later, in 1875, that a partnership with his neighbor Henry Nestle led to a variety using powdered milk. Everything from Greer's fondant to the caramel is made in the candy kitchen, a room that can be accessed by leaving the dipping room, passing through a packaging room and a storage area, and down just one step into a large room with windows. Windows that overlook the parking lot and down to Highway 62. Nothing but trees on the other side. Next to the window stands a 99-year-old taffy puller, used mainly in the summer months. From the opposite ceiling and wall hangs a large vent hood over three copper pots that vary in size. Each rests atop a raised gas burner. The largest, a 75-year-old fire mixer.
Recently it's called a fire mixer. It cooks and it mixes at the same time. So we use that mainly for caramel. The small kettles we use for other things. So last night my son cooked almond toffee, and that kettle hadn't been cleaned yet, nor has the slab been cleaned yet, but it'll be cleaned this morning.
Chocolate-covered almond toffee, made with only pure ingredients, happens to be one of the Greer's best sellers. When it has been fully cooked in the kettle, it is moved from the burner and poured onto the slab in the center of the room, the candy maker simply having to turn around. The toffee is then left to rest and harden until it is scored and cut into rectangular pieces to be covered in chocolate. Cream centers are also made in one of the copper candy kettles. When they are cooked, however, the small batch of about 20 pounds is poured into one of two cream beaters, a machine resembling a very large KitchenAid stand-up mixer.
It has to be spotless, incidentally. It cannot be even a little speck of sugar in there, because it can turn the whole batch back to sugar. Well, both of these are probably about 113, 114 years old. Now, the motors are not that old. We've had to replace the motors.
The recipes are even older, with many of them traceable to the 1890s, though refining and changing to customers' tastes is an ongoing process. All are small batch, hand-dipped, and never frozen. He says that many boxes made by national companies have been frozen for up to 3 years before they're finally picked up off of store shelf. And if you slice into one of theirs, you'll see just a small layer of chocolate over the center. Greer sweets, however, are 50% chocolate. The number one seller is a turtle-like sweet the Greers call Tempters. Greer, however, says he personally has no favorite.
I'm the kid who grew up in the candy shop, and I can have a different one every day.
And in the lobby of this candy store, the Greers are preparing for Valentine's Day. Tables are arranged with red and pink heart-shaped boxes. Some sweets for your sweet. It's a quiet morning at this location just outside of Gateway. And 6 days a week, Martin Greer drives to a Bentonville location, one that just opened up in November. The hope is to grow the business so that young sons Uriah, the current candy maker, and 14-year-old Joseph will be able to carry on this father-to-son tradition. It doesn't take long after Martin opens the doors to this store, which is located in a shopping center just a couple of blocks west of the downtown Bentonville Square, for customers to start strolling in. In the short time I was there, I saw three, one of whom had this to say.
I was here to buy. I had this candy in December for the first time.
Oh.
Best candy I've ever had.
You get that?
I did.
You were the TV?
Radio. With the public radio station with KUAF.
They got great candy.
For more information or to shop, visit martingreerscandies.com. Remember that Martin Greer II was also an art teacher. The walls in both stores are lined with his paintings and cartoons, some of which were printed in publications such as the Southwest Times Record. Listen for more about Martin Greer's art career on a coming edition of Ozarks at Large.